When I was little, my parents had a cabin in our district campground in Northeast Maryland. And I remember going down and helping my dad. We actually got to the point where we were building a new cabin. And he was very much a handyman, or is a handyman, and taught me a lot of different things. And so I was always excited to go with him on the weekends to help build our cabin for our family at our district campground. And I was really excited to play with power tools. That was like ultimately the desire was to mess around with the drill and the saws and all those things. And inevitably, I would hear the words of my father say, first things first. Well, let me just tell you, first things first to a nine-year-old means not yet, right? And first things first means that more important things should be done or considered before other things. More important things should be done or considered before other things. And again, to a nine-year-old, that means not yet. My dad knew what was best for me. Before he started me out on a drill, he handed me a screwdriver. Before he started me out on a circular saw, he gave me a manual saw. Before he started me out on a nail gun, he started me with a hammer. Because he knew that I couldn't move to what I wanted to move to until I mastered the things that were first things first. More important things should be done or considered before other things. Think about the times that you've heard that phrase used, first things first. I mean, first things first, let's eat. I'm starving. Or, first things first, did he get down on one knee? To the 16-year-old in your family, first things first, this is a car. Which actually, unfortunately, sometimes follow up with, first things first, did anybody get hurt? Or, first things first, let's read the directions, said no father on Christmas Eve. And my favorite, first things first, coffee. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. And there are those of you who don't drink coffee that just said amen, because all I said was all of God's people said amen. First things first means the more important things that should be done or considered before other things. What are those things? At the beginning of 2020, what are the more important things that should be done or considered before other things? Now is the time to be asking that question. Now is the time. Stephen Covey is famous for lots of different quotes, but one of his most famous quotes is the one that you'll see up here on the screen that says, start with the, yeah, you know it too. Start with the end in mind. Now, this is true for many authors, for producers, directors, writers. Before they actually start on their project, they already know what the end is going to look like. You can see this in many different series. Think about this. George Lucas started his space opera with episode 4. Not episode 1, episode 4. And he, in 1974, 1976, he released 4, 5, and 6. And then years later, he released 1, 2, and 3. And now, most recently, we're in 7, 8, and 9. That is thinking with the end in mind. It's recognizing that there's a place we're going with this, and it doesn't mean we have to just start right at the beginning. It means we can start where we believe that we're going to be going. So fast forward to December 31st. Fast forward to December 31st, 2020. Now, it probably didn't take much for you to think about where were you December 31st of 2019. So fast forward to December 31st, 2020. and you are considering what has happened this year. What has been accomplished this year? What kingdom advancement were you a part of this year? Who are the lives that have been changed around you this past year? What do you want to accomplish in 2020? Now is the time to think about it. It's the perfect time. And don't just think about it, write it down. Write it down. You know, they say statistically that you have a 42% better success rate. You have a 42% better success rate if you write your goals down. And I could go into a tangent about all the statistics on that, but write it down. And I want to challenge you with this question as we begin this series, First Things First. What are you hoping for in 2020? It's a scientific fact that in January, our hope rises. It's a new year. It's a new start. So scientifically speaking, they have been able to prove that our hope rises. But here's the truth about hope. As the great coach Vince Lombardi once said, hope is not a strategy. We can hope all we want, but if we don't put the habits to go with the hope, then we actually find ourselves climbing up a hill. So I want you to consider this. Hope is not a strategy. 25% of people abandon their New Year's resolution in the first week. 25% of people who make New Year's resolutions abandon those in the first week. 60% abandon their resolution in the first 6 months. Now, here's something when I researched this that was really surprising to me. The average person makes the same resolution 10 years in a row. Can you believe that? Well, you can because you've done it, right? So 10 years in a row, we typically make the same resolution. And here's another thing that was really startling. Even after a heart attack, only 14% of patients make any type of lasting change that's centered around their eating and physical exercise. 14%. They just had a heart attack, and only 14% actually make the changes that they need to make in order to be healthy. Listen, I love hope, but hope is not a strategy. I've heard John Maxwell actually share that we have these uphill hopes. These uphill hopes and we want to obtain to get to this end that we hope, Lord, to see all of these things happen in our life and in our church and in our community. We have all these uphill hopes, but unfortunately we have these downhill habits. So we have these uphill hopes and downhill habits. And we find ourselves starting down here and trying to climb this inevitable mountain. What would happen if we kept these uphill habits and these uphill hopes and we raised our habits? At least we're not trying to climb this mountain. Instead, we're starting on level ground. Church, let me tell you, welcome to 2020. You have an opportunity to start this year on level ground. Choice is yours. You can continue to take the downhill habit because the downhill habits are the easy things that we do that lead us nowhere. I love the word nowhere. I was going to actually put this up on the screen. This isn't even in my notes. This is just bonus material. You're welcome. I love the word nowhere. Because the first question you ask about nowhere is how did we get here? Well, if you split nowhere down the middle, it's now here. Because of all the downhill habits, you are now here. And where is now here? Where is it? Nowhere. Your downhill habits have created this fight because your uphill hopes aren't enough to defeat the downhill habits. So, when we talk about this first things first, what if I told you that the best results of your life, is just one God promise away. Would you be excited about that? What if the best result of your life is just one God promise away? Not a friend promise, not a family promise, not a pastor promise, a God promise. So we're going to turn there now. We're going to take a look at a God promise. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 33. You know what? The word of God is going to be one of the difference makers in your 2020. Can I share that with you? If you're not in the word of God, I can guarantee you that you're going to struggle through 2020. I'm just going to lay that out for you right now. It is not going to magically, all of a sudden, supernaturally transpose itself into your heart and into your head. It's not. You can lay with it on your chest at night. Oh. But this is not going to change your 2020. Do you know what's going to change your 2020? Reading the Word of God. Matthew 6, here we are. Verse 33. Now, depending on what translation you're reading, I am actually going to go a little old school and go back to the way that I remember this verse. And in the New King James Version, it reads, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Now, do you all remember the chorus? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Alleluia. Yes, so we all grew up in the same church. So we remember this. That is scripture. It's not just a nice, pithy saying. It's not just a beautiful little chorus that we sing together. It's scripture. More importantly, it's not just scripture. It's the words of Jesus. "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Now, here's the problem that I have with this scripture. It is misused and misrepresented all the time. Because we tend to think that this is kind of the genie in the bottle, the Santa Claus Jesus that we pray to, and all I have to do is seek God and his righteousness and his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto me. We're going to get into what these things mean. So the one thing about this scripture that is really important is this is a plumb line scripture. Now, if you're not familiar about what a plumb line is, I'm going to throw a little image up here. This is a plumb line. A plumb line is actually a weight suspended from a string, and it's used as a vertical reference line to ensure a structure is centered or vertically straight. There are many verses in scripture that are plumb line verses, meaning that you can center your life off of a verse like Matthew 6:33. In fact, not even can you do that. Let me say this. Everybody look at me. Everybody look at me. Center your life on Matthew 6:33. Seek first God and his kingdom and his righteousness. And I'll make the rest of the verse easy for you. He'll take care of the rest. He'll take care of the rest. Here's the problem. How often do we really seek God first? I think that's a really challenging question for us. You want to be a better husband? Seek God first. You want to be a better wife? Seek God first. You want to be a better coworker? Seek God first. You want to be a better friend? Seek God first. You want to be a better mom? Seek God first. You want to be a better dad? Absolutely. You want to be a better brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, roommate, next door neighbor? You want to be a better community member? You want to be a better person? What should you do? Wow, it sounds so easy. Because it is. It really is that easy. When you begin seeking God first, he'll take care of the rest. It doesn't mean that the rest is going to be easy. I will never stand up here and sell you this bill of sale and tell you that all you have to do is seek God first and everything in your life just is perfect and easy. No. But if you seek God first, he says, then I will take care of the rest. Here's the amazing thing. Do you want to have less anxiety? Do you want to worry less? Seek God first. Here's the amazing thing. In verses 25 through 34 of Matthew chapter 6, the word worry shows up four different times. And it's Jesus saying, don't worry. That's four times it shows up in Scripture between verse 25 and verse 34. And Jesus is saying, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. Now, here's the thing. Jesus didn't simply tell them not to stop worrying. He said, replace your worry with concern for the kingdom. Now, I've heard it said that that worry is concern gone crazy. That's what I've heard. Because it's okay to be concerned. There are things that you need to be concerned about in your life. But the problem is when concern goes crazy, then what does it become? Worry. Jesus in his word in Matthew chapter 6, I encourage you, go back and read the whole chapter. As you're doing the first things first reading, read that, and then go back and just read through Matthew chapter 6 sometime this week. It's incredible to hear how Jesus approaches worry and anxiety. So Jesus says, even in verse 26, he says, listen, you don't see birds running around all worried. Well, it's because they fly. But even then, he uses the analogy of the birds. He says, listen, you don't see birds with ulcers in their stomach. You don't see them worrying about where their next meal is going to come from. Because he says, I've got them. And he says, and if I've got them, how much more will I have you? This is the words of Jesus. Because here's the thing. When I recognize when I start to worry, it's because really of two primary things. One, I forgot that Jesus is in charge. And two, I lost where God is in my life. Because when you can align yourself with God, when you know that God is first, when you can find God in the situation, then you know that it's okay. Because God's in it with you. He's there with you. And man, that really helps. And I have to remind myself of that. Do you want to defeat the enemy of worry, the enemy of anxiety, the enemy of status? Do you want to defeat the enemy of comparison? And the list can go on and on. If you want to defeat those things, then seek God first. Seek God first. I love the way Eugene Peterson writes in verses 32 and 33 in his message. He says, people who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Praise the Lord. So let's take a quick quiz. Let's take a quick quiz to determine who or what is first in our lives. It's just going to be real quick. When you have to make a major decision, where do you go? When you have to make a major decision, where do you go first? Do you go to Google? You know, do you text a friend? Right? Do you reach a lifeline? When you have to solve a problem, when there's a problem that arises, what is your first solution? When the problem hits you, is your first solution drugs? Is your first solution, to worry? Is your first solution to turn to something that's not going to be able to actually solve the problem, but will intentionally make it worse? When you need guidance, who do you turn to? Who do you talk to first? I heard Tony Evans say once, for many believers, God is the spare tire. He's the thing believers turn to when nothing else worked. I'm just going to tell you this. There's only room for one king in the kingdom. There's only room for one king in the kingdom. So let me challenge you with this thought. Who or what sat on the throne of your heart in 2019? who or what sat on the throne of your heart in 2019. Now, and don't get me wrong, we tend to think, oh, well, it's not bad things. Well, listen, there are things that can still sit on the throne of your heart that to you and to the rest of the world look like good things. But even good things are not supposed to be sitting on the throne of your heart. Only God is supposed to be sitting on the throne of your heart. So the question is then, in 2020, what do we do? In 2020, what do we do? What or who will sit on the throne of our heart in 2020? Do you go to God's word first when trouble hits? Or do you go to your friend's word first? Do you try to obtain God's perspective first and look at the world through the lens of Christ? Or do you turn to Fox News and CNN to get the perspective on the world? Now stay with me. Stay with me on this next part. The other day I thought about this. How do visually impaired or blind people know which gas to put in their car? I was standing at the pump. Stay with me. I was standing at the pump and I recognized, I'm like, everything looks the same. All the buttons are the same. There's no indications, there's no markers, there's no information. If you were visually impaired or you were blind, that there is a chance that you could end up putting something wrong in your car. And then I backed up and I thought to myself, wait a minute. Okay. The nozzle on a diesel and cap, you know, the where you put your gas, the handle, the nozzle is bigger. So that's how they would know that it wouldn't be able to fit into the hole of the gas can, you know, the gas cap for the car. So that's how you wouldn't mistake to put diesel in your engine versus gas. And then I stepped back and I thought to myself, oh, wait a minute. Blind people and impaired visually people, they're not putting gas in their car, right? And then I stepped further back and I was like, wait a minute, they're not even going to be driving a car. You know, so you were all there before I got there, but I want you to think about this because it's really true in our lives. I mean, Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23, Jesus actually tells us that our eyes are like a lamp providing light for our whole body. If we live with our eyes wide open, meaning seeing the world through the lens of Christ, then our whole body will be filled with light. That's what Jesus says. If you live with your eyes wide open and you're looking at the world and you're looking at your situations and you're looking at things through His lens and you're allowing Him to be your perspective, you're putting Him first, you're seeking God first, then that means that the light that hits the lamp of your eyes, it fills your whole body with light. It's like putting gasoline in an engine to help the engine run. Now, the converse is also the same because he talks about it later. He says, it's like knowing that you're putting gasoline in your car, but he continues in verse 23, when our eyes are unhealthy, our whole body is affected. This is what Jesus says. If your eyes are healthy, it brings light to the whole body. If your eyes are unhealthy, then it actually brings death or it brings darkness to your whole body. In fact, he even says, the depths of the darkness you have not yet seen. So when our eyes are unhealthy, it's like putting diesel in an engine that only runs on gasoline. Now, what happens if you put diesel in an engine that only runs on gasoline? How far are you going? Nowhere. Because you're not here. You're not going anywhere. And here's the thing. Too many times, we fill our spiritual tanks with things that take us nowhere. Because we didn't put God first. We end up putting into our spiritual tanks things that will take us nowhere. Church, listen to me. Hear me. The key to victorious kingdom living is putting God first in every area of your life and gaining His perspective. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. As we begin to close here, I want to get to the meat of what these things are. We always ask the question, well, what is these things? He says, all these things will be added unto you. Well, real quick, these things is actually explained by Jesus in verse 25. And it's things that are accustomed to everyday life, food, drink, and clothes. Now, what Jesus actually says is that the Gentiles and many of the Jews, they put so much effort and energy on gaining more food, more drink, and more clothes because we have to make sure that we're reading the scripture in context. So in context, during that time, food, drink, and clothes were three of the really huge things that you needed in order to survive. So Jesus is basically saying, listen, the Gentiles focus way too much attention on food, drink, and clothes. Some of the Jews focus too much attention on food, drink, and clothes. So basically for us, if we were to contextually read this passage in 2020, it would be, listen, too many people are wanting and desiring more stuff, and more stuff. That's what it basically equates to. Accumulation is what it equates to. And Jesus is saying, listen, when I talk about all these things will be added unto you, he's saying to them, put me first and I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of making sure that you have what you need, not have what you want, but have what you need. Now, I'm thankful, and I can preach a whole message on the fact that there are times in Scripture when God gave his faithful followers not only what they needed, but he also supplied what they wanted. But that's a whole other sermon. So I want to end with this story. When someone loses something in my house, there's one family member that everybody turns to, Parker. Parker has this incredible ability to know where everybody lost something. Now, there may be a member of my house who tends to lose things a lot. And so she, I mean they, have to go to Parker quite a bit. But the problem is that when Parker misplaces something, then it gets really, really funny in a way. Because he will go from 0 to 60 if he misplaces something, because he's very organized. Well, a while ago, he misplaced his wallet. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. When Parker misplaced his wallet, I mean, it was all hands on deck. It was tear the place apart. We got to find my wallet. So all of a sudden, he is searching from room to room to find his wallet, and I'm sitting in the living room, and I'm like, Parker, come here. And he's like, Dad, I gotta find my wallet. I'm like, Parker, come here. And he's like, Dad, you don't understand. I'm not leaving until I find my wallet. He's like, how come nobody's helping me find my wallet? You know? And I'm like, Parker, come here. And he's like, Dad, you don't understand. All of a sudden, he comes around the corner, and there I am in the living room sitting down, and I'm holding his wallet over my head. I was just waiting for him to respond to my call. I knew what he needed, and as his father, I knew what he wanted, and all I was waiting for was for him to respond to my call. I could have saved him a lot of heartache. He could have saved himself a lot of heartache if he just listened to me the first time I called him. I could have saved him a lot of worry and a lot of pressure and a lot of anxiety and a lot of fear of, I lost it, I don't know where it is. And the Father had it the whole time. Church, this is good news for us because it's the same in our relationship with Jesus. He not only knows what we need, he even knows what we want. And he knows what's best for us, and he's just around in the living room waiting for you to respond to his call. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and he'll take care of the things that you need. Would you stand with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this morning. I'm thankful for your hand that is upon us. It is so evident that your Holy Spirit was working from the fixing of the keyboard all the way through to this final word. Lord, I am thankful that you are starting us not only as a community and as a church on the right footing, but I pray, Lord Jesus, that you're starting us as individuals on the right footing. Lord, we don't want to get caught in the downhill habits. We don't want to see the habits that are leading us nowhere or filling our spiritual tanks with things that take us nowhere. We don't want to allow those to supersede the incredible hope that you desire to give us. The fact that you are in the other room just calling our name, that you know not only what we need, but you even know our heart's desire. And you are just waiting for us to put you first and to seek your kingdom first in order to be able to receive all that we need. Lord, help us to maintain a healthy understanding the difference between wants and needs. Help us to seek first in your perspective, Lord. There are so many perspectives that are bombarding our brains and our hearts and our minds. But Lord, we want to have your perspective. Lord, we know that poo is going to hit the fan in 2020. But when it does, we want to turn to your word. We want to turn to you first. We know that it's okay to turn to other people, but they are secondary to turning to you first. So God, we seek you first. We seek your kingdom's righteousness. And Lord, we pray that your word will be true and we can hold you to the promise. We hold you to this plumb line promise that all these other things will be taken care of in your name. We ask this, Lord, in your name. And now, Trinity, I just encourage you just to open your hands to receive this blessing over your week, to receive this benediction. And as you know, I encourage you to say it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.